enjoy studying the Proverbs, but this is one of my favorites because it as a boy growing up, I was outside all of the time, and so this one made a whole lot of sense to me. In verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 6, there's a comparison between the ant and the sluggard. We used to play with both when I was a kid, and so I understood exactly what it was talking about when I read it. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways, and be wise." He said in this first verse, there's something wise about the ant and something foolish about the sluggard. Now, if you've ever been around ants and you've watched the way they behave, you know that they are constantly working. They have a hierarchy of leadership. They are just nothing deters them in getting the job done that they need to get done. Sluggard very slow in its moving, and apparently, according to the proverb here, it doesn't accomplish a whole lot. He says that the ant, in verse 7, which having no chief, ruler, or officer, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. So they are a prepared creature. They, while the things are growing that they need to eat, are constantly getting it ready and putting it to the side and storing it so that it can be used when they don't have. You see, the sluggard, in verse 9, he says, "How long will you lie down?" When you ought to be preparing, sluggard, you're not preparing. You're lying down. He says, "When will you arise from your sleep?" A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands and rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. In verse 11, the idea here is that when you are truly in need of these things that you should have been preparing for, you hadn't prepared them, and you're at the utmost need and you're at the utmost vulnerability, you would really like to have everything prepared, but you don't. I do not like to think of myself as a procrastinator. Don't throw anything at me, Christina. I like to think of myself as deadline-oriented. It sounds better. But they're the same thing. Y'all ever cram for a test before? You know, you know the final exam's coming, and you say, "Well, you know, I've got 7 days to get that done, but I'm going to spend 6 doing what I want to do, and then the very night before, that's when I'm going to try to put all that information I can, and then I'm going to go and just spill it all over the test, and then I'll forget it all later on." I feel like we're probably familiar enough with what it means to cram for an exam to truly understand that idea. I want to put something in a spiritual term for you. Now, I'm going to use a hypothetical, so I ask you to just go with me on this. If the Lord came to you today and He said, "Tomorrow, I'm coming," how would you live today? What would you do today that is different from any other day up until this day? I said this one time in front of a dentist that was in an audience where I was preaching. I said, "Oh, I know this, I wouldn't brush my teeth." And he said, "Mm-mm, I would. But I'll tell you what, we'd find real good use of our time. And I'll tell you, if I knew I was going to die tomorrow and face the Lord in judgment tomorrow, I wouldn't have brushed my teeth this morning. There was something more important than I needed to do." If it was like us cramming for an exam that we knew hypothetically the Lord had told us, "Tomorrow is coming, I will be here and you will be judged." We know that if that was the case, we would spend our time a little bit differently today than maybe we have in the past. For example, how are you doing on your daily Bible reading? Maybe we would treat it like a final exam and we would get our Bible out and we'd say, "Whew, I got to catch up." And we would start reading, 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 reading. So that when we met the Lord tomorrow, we could say, "I did my daily Bible reading." Except we didn't. We'd say, "Well, you know, I prayed before my meals every time I had a meal before. But now that I know the Lord's coming tomorrow, I'm going to pray a little bit differently. I'm going to have time to pray in the morning when I get up. And in between my Bible reading in the afternoon, I'm going to have time to pray in the evening. I'm going to have time to pray throughout my..." Let's say He came yesterday and today was the day. You'd ask Scott to lead some more songs. You'd say, "We want super worship today. We want more than we've ever had. We don't want less, we want more. Because we know that the Lord's coming, and we want to try to get as much as we can, because we want to be righteous." I firmly believe everybody sitting in this room wants to be righteous. We want to be found serving God And we want to be prepared. And if we knew that tomorrow was the day that we were going to meet the Lord, I am convinced for each and every one of us that we might spend today just a little bit differently. If we were of the world and the Lord came to us and said, I'm coming tomorrow in judgment, we might go out and live it up. Sin to the nth degree and just enjoy life. But we're not of the world in that way. We don't view life in that way, but we would say, you know what, I've got to be living for Christ, I've got to be working for Him, and I've got to, in my daily living, I've got to be a servant of the Lord. Too often we get caught up into the mentality that religion and zeal for serving God and being truly devoted to Him is something I can do later on. Because right now in my life, I've got some other stuff that I've got to get done. I've got some other stuff that I've got to do. I'm going to take care of that religious stuff later. You know, when right before I die, that's when I'll really have time for it. Jesus tells a parable. It's going to be our text this morning in Luke chapter 12, if you'll turn over there with me. And for the most part, we're not going to leave Luke 12, except for maybe a couple of times in the remaining part of our study together this morning. And the idea of this parable is simply this, that we've got to be prepared. He says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, The land of a rich man is very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones. There I'll store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. God said to him, You fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Y'all read that before, haven't you? Maybe heard sermons about it, and you've seen this, and this is not the first time that you've been familiarized with this parable. But I want us to bring it down to a personal level. Am I living my life today to be ready to meet the Lord? If He were to come tonight, if He were to come tomorrow, if I were to die today on the road on the way home or the way to the restaurant at lunch or something like that, would I be ready? That's the question. Would I be working and planning? And I'm going to say something, and it's true because we all know of examples. Working and planning and preparing to meet the Lord is not just an old people job. Because every single day, people die of every age. People that are a few days old to people that are well over 100. Every day, they die. And so in the lesson this morning, it is not a lesson to the old of our audience. And I don't know who perceives themselves as old, because the older I get, the younger I feel, right? But it is whether or not you are 15, whether or not you are 18, whether or not you are 37, whether or not you're 80, it doesn't matter. You should be thinking about and preparing and working towards the day, the time, when you will meet the Lord in judgment. In verse 15... he starts. Just consider what Jesus is saying here. He says, Beware and be on your guard against every form of evil, of greed, excuse me. So in this text, Jesus addresses a specific form of greed, and it is the desire for possessions. Look at the rest of verse 15. He says, For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. We automatically look at this text, at least I used to, and say, this is this every form of greed that he's talking about. This must be talking about money. It must be talking about possessions and things that I've got. That must be what he's talking about. And not hoarding our money and putting God first. and not working ourselves to the point that all we're concerned about is building bigger barns to put more of our stuff in. And I'll give you that in this parable, that is a specific about what Jesus is talking about here, but that's not the totality of this greed. He says to be on guard against every form of greed. What is greed? Greed is an ungodly desire or an ungodly want for something. Matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, it is tied to idolatry. And we studied that when we were looking at idolatry in our class. The things of this world can turn us away from God by us turning our thinking to the attitude of greed that he talks about here that says, I want more, I want more, I want more. But greed is not limited to money. It's not limited to riches. There are things that I can be greedy about in the same way, or dare I say, no, more greedy about than just money. Greed is simply something that steals my attention, steals my time, it steals my focus away from God and puts it on these other things. So yeah, for this guy here in Luke chapter 12, it's possessions. It's money. It's the one that says, you know what, I've got to have these crops in order. I've got to have these barns in order. I'm going to build more. I'm going to have more places to store them. That's all money and possessions. I'm going to tell you something else that we don't have to have a single dime of to be greedy. And that's our time. We desire to use our time for ourselves. We're always thinking about when I have more time. When I have more time. When I have more time, I'll worry about God. And instead of giving our time to God in serving Him, instead of giving our time in worship to Him, and that's what's due to Him, we don't give Him our time. We don't give time to Him. We instead give the time to us. And so it becomes selfish in our times. Got another one. Reputation. We can be greedy with our reputation. Used to work with somebody who had their doctorate degree. And insisted that I call them doctor. That's just simply about reputation. That's it. They couldn't write you a prescription, so it wasn't one of those kind of doctors. But they went forth the effort and the time to gain that degree and that social status. And I'll tell you that we can have the same sort of greed that says, I want that status in life. I want that reputation in life. And I'm going to work everything up into that. You know, I've got to go to med school. I've got to become a lawyer. And in order to do that, I've got to take these classes, have this degree, and I've got to have this much money saved, and I've got to do this, X, Y, Z. And we plan for all of this. And I'm not saying this morning, don't leave and say, preacher said that we're not to care about our education. That's not it. Education's fine. Wanting to be a doctor is fine. What I'm saying is that when we put it to this level of greed that Jesus is talking about here, then we've put it on the wrong level. If all we worry about is getting our reputation right with society, and we never are concerned about whether or not we are saved, and we're never concerned about whether or not we're working and walking with the Lord, that's the greed that Jesus is discussing here. Preachers sometimes are harsh upon activities of young people. Maybe, I don't know that I have been in the past. I try to be cognizant of it. But I'm confident that each of you at some point in time has heard a preacher at some point say that you need to watch how much sports you're playing and how many activities you're doing. And right, we've got to be careful about those things, not discounting some of that. But I'm going to tell you, people and young people can be lost that never played a single sport because they focused on other things. They focused on things like this education, as I've seen. So it might be trophies that are our greed. It might be degrees. I've got some hanging on the wall. It might be money. Yet what Jesus says here, in being on guard against every form of greed, he says, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. So let's tie it together. Make us a little bow here. The Lord as you in front of him in judgment, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? If your greed has been in association with possessions and money, you're going to say, here's my wallet. Look at my checking account, right? If it's about our degrees, we're going to hang them up and we're going to say, hey, look at me. I know I preached, but hey, I got 2 master's degrees. Look at me. I had my doctorates. I was a lawyer. Look at my trophy case, Lord. If that's all we've got, then we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to stand there wanting. And I'm afraid that we'll pay the penalty for it. So yes, greed. It can be in money and possessions, but it can show up in other aspects of our life. And so Jesus says to be on guard, to beware. Don't just think about those things, but walk in wisdom. Don't be foolish. In verse 20, he calls him a fool. So there's this idea of foolishness and wisdom. Look in verse 17. He says, he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? You say this is a legitimate problem. And it is. Is it wrong to build more barns? No. But if the focus is on the wrong thing, that's when it's incorrect. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I've got it. Aha! I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones, and there I'll store my grain and my goods. I'll say to my soul, sow you many goods, laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. The Lord says, it's foolish. This very night your soul is required, and now who will own what you have prepared? What about it? Who's going to own what you've prepared? Well, in his case, maybe he's got some kids. They'll own it. Maybe he's got some grandkids, and they'll have it. Maybe it's some neighbors that'll come in, and he's friendly to them, and they could all own it. Jesus is making the point here that all that really doesn't matter. Who's going to own it after you're gone? That really doesn't matter because that's not what's going to be important to you. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, what does it matter? That's why it says, you fool. You're foolish because you're worried about who these are going to be and how much you're going to have. It wasn't just that it was greed, but also with the pride that was planning it out to look in it and say, here's what we ought to do. Now, I plan for retirement. I don't know that I know many preachers that have ever retired, but I plan one day. Maybe I'll retire. Everybody in here got a retirement account going? Maybe not the kids. I am not saying it is wrong to plan for retirement. But what I am saying, and I think what Jesus is saying here, is that we can make plans for our lives. And such plan that everything is going to fall in order. And when I'm in my 20s, I'm going to do this. When I'm in my 30s, this. 40s, X, Y, Z. And I'm going to do all these things. And then on this tail end of the line here of my life, that's when I worry about serving God. I got to get all these things in order because nobody dies young. I'll be at least 65 when I die, right? What Jesus is saying is you put all your focus upon these things and you put all your focus upon preparing for it and planning for it. It's not wrong to plan or prepare. He says you put all your focus on it and you missed what was most important. Everybody's got plans. June's a special month for me, not only because it's our anniversary, but 5 years ago I had a little spot come up on my head. I never had a health issue in my life. I'm 37 years old now, and for the last 5 years deal with a health issue I never planned to have. I never had dandruff. Now you stand close enough to me and you'll have a little bit of coy all over you. Let's go ask Martin Montoya. He planned to have cancer. Ask my father-in-law who died at 49. We make all sort of plans. We make all sort of things in our life that we think this is how my life's going to work out. And this is what I can do today. And this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. But we miss sometimes the point that every day people of all ages meet the Lord. And so to walk in wisdom and not be a fool is one that says, I am preparing for life, yes, but there's something more important that I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for death. I'm preparing for judgment, and I'm preparing for eternity. Yeah, I can tear down my barns and build bigger, But that's not the focus of my life. The focus on my life is I'm preparing to meet the Lord. And I'm ready, no matter how old I am. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe 30 years from now. It may be, young people, that you live to be 80 or 90. It may not be. So the lesson for us, yes, I should prepare for the future. I should make those plans, but I cannot neglect to plan for eternity. I start that now. I got to be ready to meet the Lord now. If not, I face the consequence. And that's foolish. Look at verse 21. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. There's two treasures in the text. There's one towards himself, and there's one towards God. So the good question is, how do we be rich towards God? Do I lay up treasure for myself, or am I being rich towards God? I can tell you that I'm not rich towards God by filling up my barns and building more. This man died rich, but he also died poor. You see, he could die with his barns overflowing. He could die with his barns being built and extra ones. But if he dies poor to the Lord, he is poor. In verse 15, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Talking about earthly possessions here. That's not what life consists of. That's not going to be what goes into eternity. Look with me at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus in his preaching in verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Where is this earth? Where is this that we're storing up treasures for? Don't store up treasures for yourselves. That means I can't have a savings account? Because I got one of those. Do I need to cancel it? I've got investments. Do I need to get rid of those? That's not the point. He says they don't last. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Where are we supposed to store them up then, Lord? Verse 20, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where these things can be eternally held, where these things cannot be taken away. What kind of things are we storing up? I don't have a bank account that I know of that keeps U.S. dollars that the Lord is FDIC insuring for me. What's he talking about? Well, we look at a few other verses, we can see this idea shown out. Just quickly over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 17, towards the end of this letter here, he talks about those who are rich monetarily here on this earth. And he says to Timothy that when you're teaching these folks, he says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He says, here's the point. It's not that it's wrong to have wealth. It is wrong to have this love of it. But he says, you teach them that their focus can't be on those uncertainties and they can't be conceited on that. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sounds like the guy in Luke chapter 12, if you ask me. The guy that says, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger because I've had this bumper crop. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. When the Lord talks about riches and talks about spiritual riches, He's talking about our spiritual work and service, the blessing and reward that comes from the Lord. So, you have a generous attitude towards you. You have a generous attitude towards your fellow man. That's part of this storing up riches. You demonstrate a love to fellow man. That's storing up these riches in heaven. You offer work and service in God's kingdom. We've got some storing up of riches in heaven. When you stand before God, in judgment. Nothing's going to take those things away. Now, I am not saying, and I don't want you to think that I'm saying, that you've got to do all these good works and then that's going to punch your ticket. I'm just saying that one serving God is doing these things. And when we stand before God, we won't present Him with our degrees. And we won't present Him with our money or our checking account or our investments or our barns and having to build bigger ones. But we can present to Him what He cared about. When we look at our reputation, we look at the way society views us, I want you to think, what does the Lord care about? Do you have to be a doctor or a lawyer to be a Christian? I'm not saying either one of those are bad or useful, although you can talk to me about whether or not I think a lawyer is good or not. That's personal. Does the Lord say you have to do that? He says, no, I expect you to live this way. I expect you to walk as a Christian. Jesus was trying to direct the audience in Luke chapter 12 to put their priorities straight and to focus on God. Not lining up a bunch of works to stand before the Lord and say, look at my good spiritual works. But to say, I'm putting my priorities right and I'm going to serve God first. Because our earthly legacy will perish. There will come a time when each one of us will die. And a few years may pass if the earth continues, and they're going to forget all about you. And your legacy, if it was simply focused on earthly things, may pass. But there is a spiritual legacy that we can cling to, that we can desire with all that we want, that we can love. Our earthly legacy may perish, but our spiritual legacy is that which is eternal. And when we have this spiritual legacy that puts God first, guess what? I can teach that to my kids. I can teach that to my grandkids. We can start a new legacy, if you will. That'll do a lot of good. The wisdom that I learned from serving God, I can teach and show to my kids and my grandkids. That'll do a lot of good. I can show my submission, not to the world, but to Christ, who gave Himself up for me. I can be obedient to Him and obey Him in faith. And that's something that'll last eternally. So the question we're left with in our lesson this morning, what are you preparing for? What are we working towards? Are you prepared yourself this morning right now to meet the Lord? Are you prepared right now, this moment, to stand before Him? Are you ready for it? What's your daily motivation? What's your daily goal? No matter how old you are you ready? Are you ready to answer? Or are we trying to plan to cram for the final exam? What's our mindset? By His grace, we've been given this time, right now, an opportunity that each one of us can take advantage of. We don't have to die a fool like the guy in Luke chapter 12. We don't have to die and face eternal punishment. We can make the decision to serve Him. What's holding you back? Choose to serve Him this day. Whatever's getting in your way of that, let it go. Hold fast to the Word of God. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the gospel, and He will offer unto us and provide an eternal reward. We can help you with that this morning. Let us know as we stand together and as we sing.